Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. I'm Jen Coffendaffer. Thank you for being here this morning. I know we're a couple hours early, and I appreciate you all rearranging your schedules to come in a little bit early. You guys are my early birds. I think it's, oh my gosh, is it 5 in the morning on the West Coast? I think it is. By the way, my eyes are absolutely killing me today, so I'm not crying. I just have a little bit of my eyes are just watering so bad. So I don't want to be talking about something all of a sudden have water coming down my face. Or tears coming down my face. So anyway, thought I would explain my tissue this morning. Today I was planning on talking a lot more from the standpoint of the DNA and more information that I've uncovered. And I'm not going to say I uncovered it, but that fortunately yesterday I was filming a special that's not going to air till day 100. But in filming that, I got to know somebody who is in the forensic arena, just doing IgG as we speak. And I love Dr. Fitzpatrick and her background. But when we were filming, there were a lot of things this expert had to say. And I thought she would be really good to bring on the show. So instead of me doing a show about DNA, which I am far from an expert from, when you look at somebody who does it every single day and has been in the lab, putting SNPs together and really understanding everything, I want to bring her on and kind of a new face with new information that I hadn't heard before. So I'm looking forward to having her. So that's why we're going to pivot, and I'm going straight to your questions this morning. And if we don't have any questions up on the board yet, I will definitely go to my Twitter X, because I know I have a lot there. Let's see. Let's go on. A lot of good mornings. Hello, everyone. Okay. Here's one from Patty. Did Nancy's door to her house from inside the garage, did she lock it? Hello from Ohio. Hi, Ohio. I remember being really deeply involved in the Tepe case, which was in Ohio. And I actually had 2 cases that I've been in Ohio on in my work side of things. So Ohio is absolutely beautiful both times I've been there. Maybe I just got lucky. Although one time it was, and I'm not kidding you, the sun was out. It was the coldest I've ever been. My feet and my legs, which I made a mistake and had on a suit because of court and everything. I should have worn dress pants because I've never been so cold. It was beautiful, so clean, but so cold. So back to Ohio's question. There is no definitive answer. What we do know is this. We do know both doors were open. And we also know, and I know I did a show on this. I know I've done a lot on X on this. We know there was a locksmith there that came shortly before sort of the house was turned back over to family after the law enforcement personnel had left that were basically guarding it. And we know that they worked on the back door because I can see the footage. There was some footage there of that. So on one of the back doors. But we don't know whether one of two things, whether the back door leading to the garage was locked for sure, and whether the locksmith was merely reinforcing it with like a deadbolt or something like that, or if it had been tampered with and So therefore, they were actually fixing a lock that had been forcefully done. Sheriff Nanos has been asked about this numerous times. And all times he said he's not going to comment. Each time he's been asked that question. We also don't know that if the perpetrators got into the one door that entered into the garage, we don't know if she locked the door between her garage and the house, you know, that interior door. So we don't know those answers, but great question. It would be great if we could answer those, but we do not have those answers right now. Okay. Moving right along. Let's see, here we go. Looking. Looks like a lot of people were wondering about the garage. So glad I answered that question. Okay, another question from E. Weldine Davis. E. Weldine Davis. Good morning, everyone. Does anybody know why Savannah Guthrie left the set of the Today Show yesterday? You know, I posted on that. Every time she leaves, I post on it. I thought it was very interesting. This time was much different, I thought, than the other time. She left after only 90 minutes. I don't know what work looks like. I don't know what people would question more, her not being there at all or calling into work and saying, listen, I can do 90 minutes, but at 90 minutes, I've got to leave because my son has a play or something like that. So it's really unclear whether this was something that was acute, meaning something that just happened and she had to leave, or whether it was a planned departure. Of course, every time, and I know some of you feel this way, especially since now we know about the code word, right? If something breaks in the case, that she's going to have to get off the case or the stage. So every time that I find out about this, and obviously look very closely at everything going on with Nancy's case, I always, in a sense, get hopeful is the right word, that maybe there's going to be a break when I see her leave the stage. But then at the same time, knowing it might simply be that she's going to watch a kid's play or her son or daughter got the sniffles and she wanted to go home to be with them or something like that. So we don't know. I'm watching that closely, but we haven't seen any particular break yet. So I don't think it's anything imminent. But I'm with you, you know, I watch it and I post about it and we'll always talk about it because I think we know that it's a possibility that if she ever surprisingly leaves the stage right in the middle of a show, that it could mean that it has something to do with Nancy's case. We just have no verification of that. Could be something personal in another way, even in a very positive way. Got to go find some glasses. Listen, I don't really like these glasses. I have so many pairs of glasses laying all over the place, but these had two arms. And as you know, most of my glasses last about 3 days and break. Thank goodness these glasses are not expensive ones. They are readers and they are not expensive. So that's probably why they keep breaking. Let me see. Good morning from Northeast Florida. Could Nanos face any charges due to delaying involvement of the FBI and other agencies to help search? This is such a good question. It's such a good question because I think people are wondering that. You know, people are wondering what, if anything, is even going to happen to Sheriff Nanos. And I could tell you that no, unless there is something he has done in terms of money misappropriations, in terms of falsifying records, in terms of committing any sort of fraud, via the wires. In other than that, it typically comes down to, so when you work a public corruption type case, it's not, there's no public corruption statute at all. There are statutes you can use because you have a public corruption case open, meaning against a public figure. You can use bribery, extortion, wire fraud, theft of funds, things like that. In this case, by just sort of incompetence or, and again, I don't even think it's incompetence, everyone. I truly think Sheriff Nanos thought this would be a quick case. It would be easy to find an 84-year-old. I really believe he underestimated the difficulty in being able to solve this case. And he thought his folks would be able to do it without anyone's help. It's had catastrophic, I think, repercussions. That's just my opinion. So, you know, I talk about facts and then I'll tell you when I'm giving an opinion. I think it's catastrophic, some of the decisions made in this. But is it criminal? No. And he's backed by essentially the fact that you have immunity. For instance, as we all know, the FBI, Pima County, they went into two different people's homes, did searches, depending on who you listen to, whether they, you know, messed up the things that were there or didn't, broke open the doors or didn't. The Bureau will pay for something like that, but just for the cost of replacement of the door, of any damage, they will pay for. But they certainly have immunity because they are working in conjunction with their investigation, and they had legitimate investigations. They had search warrants signed by federal judges in one case, local judge in another case, of those two individuals that were looked into, the ones that were detained early on. And so, you know, in those instances and in the instance of a sheriff or a commander making decisions, say, to not send a particular sample to one lab as opposed to another, they're not going to be held responsible in terms of a criminal way. The worst thing that could happen to Sheriff Nanos is he's removed. He's got 2 years left, and the only people that I can see with any real power to do that are the Board of Supervisors. They actually, I think, have the power to do it. I don't think the recall election will work. And I don't think the $2 million lawsuit is going to affect him being in or out of office for the moment. But great question. All right. Let's see. Lots of good mornings. I know it's bright and early, Holly Locks. Hi, Karen Cardwell. I love her message. Have a blessed day. Love all the emojis. Oh, thanks. Yes, I'm really donned in yellow today. I try to have yellow on for Nancy when I do shows on her as opposed to other people. And I tell you, one case that is really on my mind, and I may do a special, and I'd like to know if you what you guys think about this, but I think I'm going to do a show on the little girl in Texas that was lured, taken, kidnapped, sexually assaulted, murdered by the FedEx guy. I think I'm going to do a show on that. It's really heavy, heavy on my heart. He just got the death penalty. That's why it's in the news. Probably be alive another 20, 25 years, but it is Texas. They're a little quicker, and it depends on if he decides to not go through with his appeals. Remember, this happened with Timothy McVeigh, Larry McVeigh was a helicopter pilot on my Houston SWAT team. So sorry about that. Timothy McVeigh, who was responsible for the bombing of the Murrah building in Oklahoma. He didn't want any appeals or anything. He's just like, let's get this over with. And he was put to death really, really quickly. Maybe this guy will do that. I don't know. But I'm hopeful, because these things can just drag on where they're in prison forever. Yeah, you know, LJ forever, I truly don't even know if it's allergies. I think for me, for instance, I put this new lotion on my face this morning, and I haven't been using lotion at all. And you just have to use lotion at my age, or your face starts to look like a raisin. And my face is going to start to look like a raisin anyway, because I'm getting older. But I think I got the lotion too close to my eyes. But I had been struggling with, I guess it's allergies. It feels more like dust in my nose. I just have never really had huge allergies issues, except once when I lived in Houston. But I know everybody's suffering. My family has them badly, but not usually me. But I know the other day, oh, I felt like I had dust in my nose, and I do have some work going on in my house. It could have been that. But anyway, I think I might just have to face the fact that, no, Jen, these are allergies. When your eyes are watering this bad and your nose is itchy and kind of runny, maybe it is allergies. I always say I don't have them, but I've been saying lately I do have them, because I certainly have something going on. Let's see. Thank you, Kelly. She said she likes the color yellow on me, which is sweet. Let's see. Going through for some more questions here, everyone. Thank you to my mods. They're the best. Getting up early or staying up late. Okay. Yes, Mike, this is such a good comment here. He says, Astria Lab in California will get that hair sample guaranteed. So we will be doing another, assuming that this woman that I met yesterday in a panel studio that's for something that's going to air down the road. I really liked her. Her expertise is second to none. She actually is in a college setting, was my understanding, where they have a lab that's all they do is genealogy. And I'm not exactly sure at what level they get it. If I've learned anything, it's kind of like the FBI, right? You have the people that are actually under the microscope that are looking at the DNA strands and picking out the SNPs and trying to sew together what really goes with what, especially when you have mixed contributors. And then even if you don't, you have to do, and I want her to explain all of that even more in depth than what we've heard. And then you have the people that, once you sort of have the SNPs put together and weaved in a structure, and then you have from 23andMe DNA samples that come pouring in the tens of thousands, where you compare the SNP strands that have been sewed together with what the DNA profile is that you receive from these other companies, and how she said you can go down, and I don't want to take any of her thunder because I'm hoping she'll come on with me, is the fifth, up to the fifth removed cousin. I mean, that's a long way down, that's how close they can intertwine these strands and compare. I think this is the person actually doing the comparison with the IgG, as opposed to the person that's under the microscope. But I'm going to get her on. But I agree with you about this lab. And if you look at what ABC said, and they were the ones that broke the big news, right, about the hair. They were the ones that broke that news and told us. And then the Bureau released that statement, which I was shocked to see, where they said, we've been asking for this hair from the beginning. Nothing's changed with our expertise, and the hair isn't new. because a lot of people keep writing new DNA, new. It's not new. It was found in the first days of the investigation. It was just sent to a different lab in Florida. That lab is accredited. It's an excellent lab by all accounts. And she's going to talk about that too. It's really interesting what she has to say. But nevertheless, that lab and that report from ABC says there's five labs involved in all of this, five right now. So it's not just Quantico. It's not just the lab in Florida. They list five. So that means there's three other labs out there. And I agree that it should be this California lab because that's what they do. I think they're very specialized in hair, rootless hair. So I agree with you. Let's see. How long does it take for this genealogy to work to come up with a profile? Well, Rianne Lucas, this is the bad news. It can take a relatively short amount of time, meaning weeks. Brian Koberger, they had that DNA day one. And by week five, they were making an arrest. And certainly sooner than that, I think after probably about 3 to 4 weeks, they were down the trail. A lot of people think that they knew all this information way early on. I don't think they did. It took until they had the comparison between the 23andMe or Ancestry.com, whichever one the father used. Then they were able to make a match between the DNA on the sheath to the father, meaning, and everybody kind of jumped, oh, what is she saying? She means the father. I'm not saying the direct match to the father. I'm saying a lineage match to the father. And that was done again through the 23andMe or genealogy website. And then remember, they went and got that sample from the trash and then used that to further implicate Brian Koberger. And then, of course, the first thing they did when they arrested him, according to reports, is they swabbed him. And so now they had his direct DNA, not from something in the trash that could have been, have less markers, but obviously a full swab would be full markers. And so they were able to make that case. So they did it basically beginning to end about five-ish weeks, between 3 and 5 weeks, depending on whether you count being able to tie him in with the father's DNA. It took a little bit longer to tie him into his DNA. And of course, they acted post haste on all of that, right? They couldn't have this quadruple murderer out. So they went in and got him. They snatched him as soon as they had the cause, probable cause. Again, Rex Heuermann, they had those hairs forever. I don't know the exact date they started working on the hair, meaning in the lab, working on the snips to tie them all together, because that was rootless hair they had. Remember from the daughter that was on one of the victims. So the daughter's hair was on a victim. That's what they had to work through. Obviously, Asa, the mother's hair, was also on the victim's body in the burlap or the ligatures that were used to bind her. But Asa's hair would be irrelevant, but they still had to do the work on it, not knowing, right? But it was the daughter that then now you have the genealogy aspect to hook in Rex Heuermann. And then I don't know if you remember, but they got this pizza that he had been eating. They had him under surveillance. And that's what they used to then show that he was the paternal father of the DNA contributor to the daughter's hair that was on the person. So at least that is how that began. But how long did it take to put the snips together from the hair strand of the daughter? We know that this type of work in DNA is so new, only about 8 years ago. And remember, the Gilgo case went back decades. And they'd had that hair so very long. So when they started working on it, I don't know that exact date, but it could have been 8 years ago. You know, they could have taken that hair and started it. You know, it could have been one of the beginning or one of the first cases. I don't know. So it's an interesting question, but according to everyone, whether you have listened to CeCe Moore, Dr. Fitzpatrick, or this new expert that I'm going to have come forward, they will all tell you it can take weeks, months, and up to years to stitch it all together and make it make sense. And when you really think about what they're doing, it makes sense. I mean, I am just picturing all of these little microscopic snips, they call them, where they stitch them together and then somehow make at least somewhat of a profile. And then that they have to compare to, as I said, all those thousands of contributions from 23andMe and Ancestry.com, which would all likely be different unless people just cross-reference their findings to see if Ancestry said the same thing as, you know, 23andMe. But just imagine that. You're going through all of that, and then you finally get lucky. It was a little bit different, so I think Rex Heuermann's went much faster because they already had the hair there to compare. So they had a direct hair to compare to Rex Heuermann from the pizza. So that's a lot different than comparing a hair here to all the IgG information that would be out there. So, and remember what Dr. Fitzpatrick brought home, hairs are transitory. And because hairs are transitory, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I don't have her up. I have me up. And because hairs are transitory, remember that these transitory hairs can go from one thing to another, years of being brought there, being taken. So my point is that there is no guarantee that once they even decipher who this is, that it's not anything from a restaurant worker. And I'm serious. You're in a restaurant, you got your coat on the back of your chair, and a waiter's hair falls on it, and then you bring it home. You bring it home, you go to hang it up, and it falls on the floor of your closet. You haven't vacuumed that closet or whatever, or even if you did vacuum, I could tell you with my vacuum, it's so hard to get up hair because we have a dog. And so there's dog hair everywhere. And even though they work, I have the most wonderful lady that has worked for us for 10 years. She's amazing. But it's really hard to get it up. Like they have to go over it and over it and over it to get every little hair up. So I just wanted to give you an example of how transitory hairs are. And while we're hopeful, I call it, you know, cautious optimism, that hair that they're looking at is going to lead us to a suspect. Great question, Rianne. And I love your name, Rianne. All right. Oh, Olivia. So she says she's been watching the show since Sebastian Rogers. Wow. Do I appreciate that? That was, boy, we would maybe be lucky to do one every couple of weeks, I think. And then we got down to maybe once a month. And I really love this format of being able to just once a day prepare for a show. And this is the first time I've really done this today and 2 days ago, kind of just going through and answering questions from the audience when we don't have any breaking news. And I think that's really good. Like I said, I'm going to do a show on the abduction case that's recently been in the news. But thank you. That really means a lot. So I appreciate it, Olivia. Let's see. Okay. Four Deuces 88. How far along do you believe the FBI is in sorting through the thousands of tips? Do they investigate every single person that someone gives a tip on? Okay, great question. I don't think they're far at all. The last number I got, at least that media reported, was 50,000. I don't think they're far at all. Remember, there is a big process of triage, right? The most important, we have to jump on this. This looks really good. To, oh my gosh, this is another person calling with their philosophy on what happened. So the philosophy people that are, you know, doing tips, the Bureau does not care about your philosophy. I'm just going to tell you. They have the full, not that they don't want you engaged or listening or tuning in. It's just not, your thought process of going through is just, I mean, I'm never going to call the Bureau and say, listen, you need to listen to what I think. They have 100% of the evidence. We have probably 2% compared to what they have. They have the totality. They have tips. They have all the information from the videos. They have the neighbor's information. They have where they're at exactly with the DNA. They have where they're at with tracking the backpack and the holster and the gun and the clothing. They have all of that. So I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to say the Bureau does not care about anybody's philosophies on where they think what could have happened. Unless it's fact-based, unless they are in the throes of it and they know what happened, they don't care. So you have probably, I can't even imagine, I'm sure there's a lot of those, thousands and thousands of thousands of people that believe for whatever reason. Maybe a lot of people have intuition or psychic element to all of that, and they have these philosophies and thoughts, but they're not going to look at that. I'm telling you, not right now. And they're still drinking from a fire hose. So that's one aspect. Then you have, you know, other aspects that might be in Canada, you know, New York. Hey, I think I see porch guy. So you've got a huge influx of all those, which they're going to slowly try to get through. You have people that have received ransom notes on this case. Again, unless there's a Bitcoin match in terms of the new ransom notes or new fraudsters that are trying to get money, unless there's a Bitcoin match to the first two notes, they're not going to get to you. So what would be triaged at the top of that? What is triaged at the top is, I know who Porch Guy is. He's my cousin. It looks just like him. He never works. We never know what he's doing. He's got a problem with drugs. He's, you know what I mean? They're going to piece everything together and see if it would make sense, if he could have the opportunity and to commit this crime, and if they think that he looks similar. I tell you what I do worry about, and I do worry about the Bureau, because they haven't been able to get to all of these. Likely they've triaged them and then they're working them. But what I worry about is they'll miss something, or have missed something, or haven't gotten to something that could be really relevant. It's a great question. I don't think they're there yet at all. That's why we say this case is not cold. This case is red hot from behind the scenes. It's just cold when it comes to the media and really any new knowledge. Yeah, who had a key to her house? Well, I think we don't know for sure, but I think it's very logical that, of course, her caretakers, her Annie and Tommaso, would have a key. I wouldn't doubt that maybe even Cameron and Savannah have keys. I think her immediate family would all have keys, even if they live far away. She's lived in that house 50 years. the chances that her locks have remained the same for some decades is very likely. I mean, why would you ever change your locks unless you had an issue at some point? You wouldn't. Who changes their locks just to change locks? Maybe somebody does, but most people get ring cameras or maybe add a lock, but you don't really change your locks. So I would believe everyone in her family had a lock, or I mean, had a key to her home. Outside of that, we don't really know. In other words, did she trust a neighbor or something like that? I don't know how all of you feel, but oftentimes because we're gone long periods of time, we have a neighbor that can, you know, we've given a key to. So in case something happens, that they are able to get in. So you have to be really careful and know where all your keys are, because keys can be copied and keys can be made. Housekeepers also often have keys or codes to enter. I wouldn't doubt that one bit, especially if it's a trusted housekeeper. So I agree that that is something the Bureau definitely needs to look to, who all had keys. I would also be looking to different key shops. Were any keys made by these people in and around this case that in and around what happened? Were any keys made by any of the people that would have had keys to Nancy's house? I would want to know that in the general time frame. So it's a great question up there. We don't know who all had keys. I think we can make some logical assessments that her family would all have keys. It's a probability or possibility that different maids could have keys. House caretakers, possibly. So it's such a great question. Neighbors, close friends in her group. Again, I would be looking for, did any of these people I just named have a key made in and around the proximity of the 1st of February? Yes, Nancy's car was returned to if Chris McDonough said that, I'm not sure why. I think I have exactly when it was returned, but don't hold me to it. I'm going to double check, but I believe it was returned. I know Annie and Tommaso's was returned. I think I told everybody. I called Pima County on that, and they said they were going to return it. And then within a very short period of time, they did. They had it in the shop because they tore that thing apart. I believe it was returned. But that's a good, let me write that in my book of things to do. That's Holly Locks, because I believe it was returned. That's based on my memory. I'm going to find out. I love that question. I believe it was. And I looked that up recently, even got the date, I thought. But let me make sure. Okay. Karen, my fact spreadsheet is not going well, because I have to tell you, in my real work life, I call that my real work life, right? Actual work. Well, this is work, but it's a labor of love. You know, I really obviously enjoy these cases and love true crime, like all of you. And some of you probably work, but this is your important pastime. And but in my real expert job, I have a lot coming up. In terms of reports and depositions and trials and things like that. So I am about to, other than this show once a day, I am about to go dark. It's getting time to go back in the cave. So that is what is coming up for me on the horizon. Let me see. I had thought, Jen, this is Girl Mom 2, I had the exterminator come out the other day, and the same person comes out every 3 months. He knows my house very well. What if that's the case with Nancy? I mean, it is so true. We have an exterminator too. And just like you, he comes out, he knows every square inch of our house. And I got to be honest, I don't follow him around when he sprays. I probably should, but I've come to know him. He's such a nice young man. His name's Jason. And I mean, I have his personal cell. You know, I'm like, gosh, I just saw an ant or whatever. Can you please come back out? Whatever the case may be. So long story short, you're so right. I mean, these individuals, and then all it takes is being compromised, right? You know, whoever was looking to do this gets that person in a sandwich shop when he's on a lunch break and says, listen, here's 10 grand. Leave the door open when you go next. There's so many things. Give me an understanding of the house. And I don't know about y'all, but I literally have long conversations with our exterminator. Anybody who I have in this house, like I said, I'm having some work done right now. Oh my gosh, I'm like, and I talk to them and get to know them and know a lot about them. Like our exterminator has 5 huskies, I believe. He's a huge dog lover, huge football fan. So anyway, my point is he also knows about me. He sees all my pictures. He sees, you know, my background. He talks to me. So I agree with you. It could be anyone could have provided information or got upset. You just never know. I still believe this is personal, like a personal aspect to it. Great question. Okay, let's see. When we hear of Kash Patel flying off to Tucson, we'll know there's a break. Thank you, Gail. You know what? Kash is definitely invested in the case, right? Kash is, he spoke about it on Hannity. He very early on, he says he had 100 agents transferred there, agents and support. Analysts, he said, agents and analysts, hundreds. He had an S on it. I can't even imagine what that travel budget would have looked like to do that. I really can't. If they came from other jurisdictions, maybe he means they all came down from Phoenix, which makes a lot more sense. But he's definitely invested in the case. I mean, it's something that, you know, the FBI, they want to, the FBI now, even though they have an excuse that they started 4 days behind the curve, they still, this is a huge case for them because it is so in the news and it's important for them to solve, like Gabby Petito was. It was a huge case for them to solve. And this case is no different, or the Idaho case. So yeah, it'll be interesting if he comes down for that. I'm going to go one more minute here. Let's see. So I want to talk a little bit. This Mike says Tucson and Phoenix have their own agents. So how it works is Tucson is a resident agency, which just means like a satellite agency out of Phoenix. So Phoenix is the mothership in Arizona. Okay. Phoenix, the mothership. And then you have what we call resident agencies that have agents and support staff, and some of them are different sizes. I know somebody specifically who was assigned to Flagstaff. I think that was a 2-man RA, I think, at least at that time. It was a small RA. You're going to have people in Tucson. That's a big RA, much bigger. That's like Dallas, Fort Worth. Dallas is the mothership. That's where the SAC is, and that's where the headquarters city is. But then you have an RA outside of that where you have an ASAC, so one person underneath the SAC, and then you have supervisors. When I was there, for instance, in Fort Worth, we had a violent crime supervisor. That's the squad I was on. And then we had a CT, a counterterrorism supervisor. That was it. Two supervisors and no ASAC. But we had a lot of people, actually. I mean, our squad probably had, I'm going to say there were probably 75 people in that office and two supervisors, as I recall. No, wait a minute. I think there was a white collar crime supervisor. I think it was white collar, violent crime, and CT. So funny, because I was actually remoted. I worked at the gang unit. So I had my own desk, everything at the gang unit, not at the FBI at all. I had a desk at the FBI, but where I reported to work every day and who I rubbed elbows with was the gang unit for 6 years. And then prior to that, I was at, after 9/11, I was at, it well, actually right before and during all of 9/11, I was in another RA. I've always been in RAs pretty much, except for my first about 9 years in Houston. I was in Headquarters City on Organized Crime Squad. But prior to, after that, I've just been in resident agencies. And whenever you're in a resident agency, you handle all violations. Now, as you get bigger, like Tucson office, that's different because you're going to have these different squads. So you're either going to handle white collar, violent crime, counterterrorism, foreign counterintelligence. Pretty much those are going to be the divisions. So just so everybody knows, yes, Tucson is a resident agency. In other words, a satellite agency, and Phoenix is the main office. Somebody had that question. Let's see. All right, everybody, I've had you for about an hour here, a little bit under. I'd love to do these sessions because you guys have such great questions. It really gives a chance for you as the audience to be involved. And I love that. Tomorrow is Friday, and you can plan on our normal time from 10 to 11. I think that works really well for people. Maybe 11 to 12 also works well. But right now we'll keep it at 10 to 11. I think people mostly plan on that. I hated losing our West Coasters and probably some of our mountain timers. I don't see them in here. But I'm so happy that you all got up with us this morning to start the day with a little Nancy Guthrie news and answering some questions. I've got this on my list to do about Nancy's car returned. Again, to the best of my recollection, I try to keep up with everything that happens on the case. I thought it had been returned, but I'm going to double check that. If it hasn't been returned, we'll talk about that because that's interesting if it hasn't been returned. But I thought it had, but I want to just make sure I have the date and the source. As I said, with the spreadsheet stuff, even though I haven't put the spreadsheet together, in my brain, I pretty much know what source, what I've seen with my own eyes, what's been delivered by Pima County in terms of information, or the FBI, or Savannah, and so on. Like I said, a spreadsheet of all that is really good. It's sort of in my head, and I haven't put it to paper, but I'm going to find out that answer. Everyone, till next time. May justice be served for Nancy Guthrie and for all the missing.